Good morning. When elders meeting, David said, asked the question, I want to be gone this week. Who do we want to preach? And there was silence. And they were talking. And they said, well, you're going to be gone. Yes, okay. Well, we don't have this problem. Okay. And I looked at David and I said, I'll do it. And he looked at me and he goes, do what? I'll preach. Sure, okay. And another elder said, well, what about Daryl? And I looked at him like, wait a minute. Okay. It's like me asking for a date and then saying, well, you're not my first choice. Wasn't too brokenhearted, but a little bit. But when I volunteered to preach, I thought, how hard can it really be? Oh, yeah, you're laughing now. Nobody was there to coach me on that. But how hard could it really be? David's up here. I've seen David do this 17, 18 years. Looks so easy. Since I've been here, 18. So easy. He just makes it, it's just effortlessly. There we go. That's the word. But it's the same thing as when you are watching sports on TV at a game that you're yelling at the TV because your player, the guy you're cheering for, your team, does something wrong. And you yell at them, and you yell at the TV thing, well, if it was me, I would have done it this way. If it was me, I would have done it this way. They make it look so easy, but you don't understand all the things that they've gone through. I have a video that kind of shows some of the things that these guys do. That's the music. On the ground. Okay, no, that's all right. Here we go.
Check this out, a backhand with the glove. Oh, he barehands it and gets him at first. Wow. Man. Might be the play of the year right there. I don't think I've ever seen one better. That was amazing. And look at Ricky hang in there with Will Venable right on him. And that's not even close at first base. What a play. A run scores, but the Brewers turn.
So they say when a teacher is unprepared, he has videos. We'll see a movie. But something like this, even when I played baseball, even in my best days, even if I dreamed it, I could not do that. With all the practice and everything that I put into it, I could not do that. You have the skill, you have the talent, but it takes a lot of practice. Lots of practice. I know that if David is not ready for his sermon, if it's not complete by Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how busy he is, he's late. And then Saturday, he takes the time after men's breakfast or whatever it is he has going on. He is in his office and rehearsing, going over it, make sure the timing's right, make sure all the verses are proper and correct order, make sure. So they're worried about also this. They pick out the songs for the sermon. They make sure everything is flowing and everything is connecting the right way. And the key is practice. The more that you do, the more that you put into it, the more effort over and over again. Muscle memory, boxing, baseball, cooking, cleaning, dentists, doctors, anybody with a profession, with all the practice they do, makes it look easy. You look at your mom and you think, how could she raise 7 screaming kids? She makes it look, you look back and you say, she made it look so easy. She cleaned, she cooked, and she took care of all of us without chaining us up outside with the dog. which she should have most of the time. But it's practice. So you make mistakes. You will make mistakes. In the very beginning, you'll make mistakes. Maybe you, or you won't make mistakes, but you won't be as quite as fast as you were. You don't want a pilot to make a mistake. But they're practicing all the time. A lawyer, they call it a practice. Why? Or a doctor, they call it a practice because they are still learning. You're learning all the time. Repetition over and over again. And you just make it look easy. But now that I agreed to preach, woke up early this morning, nervous the whole week, nervous the last 2 weeks. Wife is actually more nervous for me right now. I know everybody's cheering me on, wanting me to do a great job. But I put this burden on myself. It's not me. It's easy. It's not me that there's a quota that I have to fill. There's nothing that says that I have to accomplish something great. I have to preach the Word of God. And that is a big responsibility. But I do not have to get you to perform. That is not my job. I preach the truth. I'll teach the truth. I'll say the truth. And it is God who will accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, and does not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So there is no quota for me to fill. I do not have to preach a hard sermon to get you to run out and be missionaries or to set the South Valley on fire with the gospel. God's word, the truth that God sent out, will accomplish His mission as long as we speak the truth. Noah preached for over 100 years. Go to the book of Genesis. Six three. Then the Lord said, My spirit will not contend with men forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. So from the time that Noah got the message to preach the gospel, to build the ark, he was preaching. People were coming out to see him and see what he was doing. Preaching for 120 years. How many converts did he actually make? Let's go to Hebrews 11. This is where you get nervous, where you can't find scripture. Vision goes blurry, you get scared, you get nervous. Hebrews 11, right there. Turn the page. 11:6. I'm sorry, 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. And then 2 Peter 2:5. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Over 100 years of preaching. Saved himself, and seven other people. And if you looked at that, that's not really a good track record. If you were to judge your life, and I've had people tell me this, like they're a gunfighter notching their belt for how many people they shot. How many people have you saved? Zero. You know, how many people have you presented the gospel to that you've known that made a confession to Christ? Zero. Zero. I have talked to people. I've tried to reach people. I've given them the logical explanations and step by step by step by step. And they do not seem to want to hear. And it can be frustrating. And then I realized, I heard another preacher at one time say, you don't save anyone. God saves them. You can present the gospel. They may not listen. They may not care. They may not be at the right time, at the right place to care what you have to say. But you planted the seed. Hopefully you planted the seed. Now, after you plant that seed, hopefully you didn't go step on it as it started growing. Here at the church, our mission is to evangelize and edify. And that means to evangelize, reach the lost, to edify, to teach us, the church, to build us up, to learn lessons, to learn about presenting the gospel, why we are saved. There's Sunday school classes. There is 101, 201, 301, 401 on what the church believes. What do we believe? How to share your faith? About baptism. I mean, we want to equip you to equip us to reach the world. And again, even if it is just to plant the seeds. I'm not asking anyone to be a missionary. I am not asking you to quit your job and preach the gospel 100% of the time. Couldn't do it. But live your lives the way God wants us to live them, according to His Word. You do not need to have a label on a fruit tree telling you that it's a fruit tree. You can tell it's a peach tree by the fruit that it's bearing. That's what we're to do. We are to live our lives according to the Word so that we can reach those people, reach our family, reach our friends, reach our coworkers, reach those people so that when they see us, they see something different about us. God is pushing them along. If you get somebody to come and ask you about God and about the gospel, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that God has, the hope through the Holy Spirit, has started pushing them closer towards you. They're not going to ask anybody else. They're going to come and ask you because they looked at your life. They see you. They see what's going on. They know there's something about you. They have the truth. They're going to come and ask you. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:5. And this is why this one is so very important. 3:15. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. A person at my work asked me he came up and asked me, I've worked with the Air Force. You really can't talk religion at times. But he came up and asked me, what do you do to make someone believe? And I knew exactly who he was talking about. He was talking about his brother. His brother's the black, I guess what he would say, the black sheep of the family. Really puts a stress on his parents' hearts. Doesn't really have his life together like the other siblings do. And I said, you can't. You cannot get someone to believe. I said, but what did you do to prepare him? What do you mean? Well, have you been praying for them? No. Are you living the life according to what God wants you to do? not really, then you're not preparing him. You're not. If you preach and try to force someone into the heaven, it's easier for them just to walk away. They'll fight you. They want to fight. Doesn't like authority. Two farmers pray for rain. Who has faith? One farmer prays every day, goes outside and looks for the clouds in the sky. The other farmer prays and goes out and starts plowing his field and plants the seeds. And they start growing. Who has faith? He was plowing his field. Our job is easy. We have an easy, easy job. We are to live according to God's word so that when we do plant that seed, we're not going to crush it out. We're not going to snuff it out. I hear this from people because they pick the worst examples. They look for the worst in Christianity, and Christians are more than happy to give them the worst examples. Westboro Baptist Church. Somebody asked me, they saw a movie and they asked me, they had that type of church there, and they said, does this type of church exist? And I said, yes, it does. It actually really does. Does that a church like that that believes in God hate that much? And I said, yes, they do. So somebody will look for always the worst example of Christians. But our job is to not to give them, we're supposed to have a reason for the hope that we have, but we're also not to give them ammunition to crush the seeds that we've planted, that maybe somebody else has planted. I mean, God understands the circumstances. He doesn't want us to be robotic in when we talk to someone. Step by step by step by step. That's boring. God understands the circumstances that we are in, the pain that we have in our lives, the pain that we went through. You know, loss of job, loss of family, father, mother, sibling, loss of spouse. God understands, and He can use that. He uses you. We lost our first baby when we were first pregnant. And it was at 10 weeks. And it hurt. It hurt quite a bit. And so a couple times I come across a few people at that same instance where they've lost a child. And I can't understand what they go through. I really can't. All I can tell them is, this is my experience. I don't know the hope that they had in that one child. And maybe that was the only child that they possibly could have. But I don't understand. But I can be there to listen. I can be there to talk to them about it. And the same with us. Whatever circumstance, whatever pain, whatever scars that we have, whether they're visible or invisible, God can use that to reach the people around us. And that's the question I get asked a lot. What if God loves you so much, why did He let you go through this? And the best answer I have is, I don't know. I don't know. I really have no understanding about that whatsoever. But I know that if I can trust God with the big things in my life, like eternity, then I can trust Him for the here and now. You know, losing a job, thinking that nobody's going to want to hire an old guy again to do that profession. And one of the greatest jobs comes along after the church prays, and you wait patiently. You guys are a great value to God. Awesome value. That we were bought at a price. Such a great price. That never sell yourself short. You have so much to offer the kingdom of God. So much. That the difference between a lump of coal and a diamond is thousands and thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands of dollars. And the chemical makeup, roughly the same. All you need to make a diamond with coal is pressure, lots of pressure, lots of heat, and lots of time. And the less flaws that there are in the diamond, the more expensive it is. I mean, beyond belief that it's really just a rock. You know, thousands of years ago, that was just a lump of coal. And you want how much for that? No. I can't pay that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and that God is who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Acts 20:28. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. Ooh, wrong one. Yep, no, that's the right one. And 1 Peter 1. For you know that it is not with the perishable things that such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you are purified, you have purified yourself by obeying the truth that you have sincerely loved for our brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So our job is easy. We live our lives, our business, our personal lives, our home lives, unlike politicians where you separate politics from your personal life. We don't separate. We're the same all the time. And it's difficult because we make mistakes and we learn from them. Practice, practice, practice. That's the biggest thing, is practice. Because you never know on who who's listening, who's watching. Your honesty, your integrity, your life, your work ethic. People are looking at you. They know there's something different about you, and they're looking for an excuse. They're looking for something that, again, they're looking for the worst. Well, I saw you do this, or I saw you do that. They're going to have plenty of ammunition. Let's not give them any more. So again, our job is easy. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you've come to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants, nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. You never know on the people that you meet, on are you watering that seed that somebody else planted? Or are you planting a seed? Because they may walk away and you think there's no way in the world this person is going to be saved. And they'll surprise you. God will surprise you. And it's hilarious when it happens. It's fun. Every time you see that person, you smile because you think there was no hope for them whatsoever at that time. And then now there's hope. And they're reaching people. Or are you the person who's watering? And I say, once that sprout comes up, don't step on it. Don't crush it. Don't crush that spirit. Look at my watch here. David's first sermon was 8 minutes. Not that I'm here to compete against David, but there's always a competition with David. Even though if he likes to say there is no competition, there's always a competition. He makes it look so easy. He really does. But he stresses a lot. Because that's just who he is. He loves you very much. I love you guys very much. This is an awesome church. I would love to see it filled. I'd love to see it overflowing. But I would take all of you right now because you guys have that desire for God. We can have a church filled with people who just want to show up to occupy places, to meet their friends. But you guys are my family. And I truly believe with your lives that you guys are out there reaching people, that they are watching you. Whether it's our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, friends, co-workers, even our enemies. Our enemies watch us. And that day, when he comes to Christ, I got one in particular I'm thinking of. When he comes to Christ, and I know we're praying for him, it's going to be funny. He's going to be blindsided. He's not going to know that he needed God that much. And he will no longer be my enemy. So now that we know that we are of great value, that God is using us, directing us in this way, that we need to go out into the world, into a lost world, with direction and magnitude, and preach the word and live the word according to him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. Of the stress that I put upon myself that was unnecessary. Because you've already accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. That your word goes out and reaches the people around us. And the love that you have for us and the price that you paid for each and every one of us. That again, our job is easy to reach the people that you put us in place of. And they may not know it, but as your Holy Spirit directs them towards us, please give us the words to use for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.